Lord, it's great to be here this morning and appreciate your pastor once again and the church. It's been great just to be back in El Paso and got to have L&J's yesterday. That's probably my favorite place here. And there's no place like L&J's anywhere. And how many of you have never had L&J's Mexican food? Okay, well, you're not officially a part of this city until you go eat. But make sure you go right when it opens or you're going to be waiting a while. But it's a great place. And Brother Matt Bainline, when the service is over, will give everyone maps and location when you get on that, brother. And so it's great to be here with you. And it's great to be married. Amen. And there's nothing better than being married. And I'm thankful for the times, the years that I've had with my wife. And it's been just a great journey together. I want to look this morning in Proverbs chapter 15, if we can. Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to give you a little thought this morning. And in Proverbs chapter 15. Now, a lot of times we think about the book of Proverbs, and we think about it's a book, a lot of times we talk about it's a book on parenting, raising kids. But I would argue that there's just as much scripture on marriage in the book of Proverbs as there is on parenting. And if you were to go through the book of Proverbs and just read it and read what it says about your words and your spirit and dealing with stuff, and you were to just go through it looking at it from the vantage point of marriage, I think you would find it to be one of the greatest resources in all of scripture. In helping you be a better husband and helping you be a better wife. Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to look at one verse this morning, and then we're going to get right into it. The Word of God says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. I want to preach on this subject this morning, trees of life to those we love. Trees of life to those we love. Let's pray. Father, bless now our time in your word. I pray, Father, you'd give me clarity of thought. I pray, Father, that you would help us to ponder this proverb specifically as husbands, as wives, and the incredible impact that this verse can have on our marriage. Bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name. Everyone say, right now, in the valley that I live in Nampa, Idaho, right by Boise. It's in the southwest corner of Idaho, about 40 minutes from the border of Oregon. So we're not, a lot of times people think Idaho, they're thinking northern Idaho, they're thinking, you know, very remote. Where I live, it's not quite like that. We live in the valley, there's a lot more people. But this year, we've had a record amount of snow. We've had, matter of fact, the state is in a state of emergency right now. We've had more snow this year than any other time in 65 years. Within like a 3 to 4 week period, we had more snow in that time than we had the last 3 years combined. And so our valley is totally just covered in snow. It's also been pretty cold. A couple weeks ago, we had a men's meeting, and I picked up the preacher, and he's from San Diego, where I met him when I pastored in San Diego, and it was like 15 below zero when I picked him up. And so it's just been a very cold winter. And usually it's not that bad, but pretty much every year when January comes, we get this inversion where kind of like a cloud cover comes into the valley and it stays for the month of January and just gets real cold. And I'm a Californian. I'm not used to that. And so for me, it's just kind of miserable. It's just like, all right, Lord, I'm just gonna sleep for 30 days. Amen. And so, but one of the things I love about living in Idaho that I've never been accustomed to is seasons. In California, we have two seasons. We have hot and we have hotter. I mean, that's basically our seasons where I lived. And so I've never been a part of seasons. And one of the things I love about Idaho is you come out of January and a little bit of early February, and you kind of get through that winter season, and then the spring comes, and the sun starts coming out, and you know the daylight savings time changes, and so it's daylight longer, and all of a sudden the valley totally transforms. Everywhere you look, you see life and you see growth. Trees start blooming, and grass starts growing everywhere. And that really struck to me because when I lived in El Paso, I couldn't grow grass. And then I lived in San Diego and I couldn't grow grass. And you go to Idaho and I've got sod, you know what I mean? I've got real grass. And I mean, people in where I live don't get that, but I'll just stare at it like, look at my beautiful grass. Isn't this just beautiful? And you know, the grass is growing and the trees are growing and flowers. And everywhere you look, you see life, But here's the reality, when the spring comes, you have all this growth and you have all this life, but that life is delicate and it is dependent. My grass can look really good in March, but if I don't do anything to it, it's not gonna look really good in July. The trees can look really good in March, but if I don't do anything to them, they're not gonna look very good in July. Because they're delicate. Life is delicate. It needs nurture. It needs water. It needs sunlight. Grass, you know, needs fertilizer and all those things to nurture it and to help it sustain and keep life. And now that I've lived in Idaho a couple years, I know at what times to fertilize and, you know, how much water to give. And so my grass is greener and healthier than it was the first year. Because once you learn how to deal with that life and how to properly nurture and take care of that life, it'll be stronger and it'll be healthier. In this verse, in Proverbs 4, the last word, he talks about our spirit. Our spirit. Now, let me give you the definition of the word spirit here, of what he's talking about. The word spirit means life or ardor, fire, elevation or vehemence of mind. Here's some ways that the word was used. The troops attack the enemy with great spirit. The young man has the spirit of youth. He or she acts with spirit. So the idea of spirit is like energy, life. It's the courage, the faith. It's that gas within us that wants us to still, you know, get up and do, and to the positivity and the energy and the strength to face life and to do things. And we all have a spirit. We all have, you know, courage and faith and positivity and that juice, you know, to do the things that we're supposed to do. But our spirit is delicate, and our spirit is dependent. Your vitality to go to work, and your vitality to invest, and your vitality to face adversity and trials, and to have the right attitude, you can start off real strong, but your spirit can weaken. Your spirit can go through dry times. But listen, not only do you have a spirit, but your spouse has a spirit. Your spouse has a level of energy, of enthusiasm, of vitality to go to work and to take care of chores and to try to walk with God and to try to be a good Christian and to try to remove sin and to try to be a good spouse. And their spirit is delicate and somewhat dependent upon you. And a person can have a great spirit, but their spirit can be hindered or be helped by the person that they live with and go through life with. Our life, our spirit can be impacted by others. And I want to show you exactly a couple different ways that plays out in this verse. Notice what he says again in Proverbs 15, verse 4. Notice the backside of the verse. He says, but perverseness therein. He talks about a perverse tongue. Now, a lot of times when we think of the word perverse, we think about, you know, we think about sexual things. We think about someone who, you know, speaks, you know, in lewd conversation. But the word perverse in the book of Proverbs isn't talking about that. The idea of perverse means to take something and make it crooked, or to take something and use it in the wrong way or in the opposite way. The reason why we speak about someone being perverse in a sexual manner is they're taking something pure and good and they're speaking about it in the wrong way. They're speaking about it in a crooked sense. The word perverse can speak of unaccommodating or uncomplying. In this verse, I think you're going to see this when I draw it out. In this verse, when he's talking about a perverse tongue, he's not talking about someone who speaks crudely or rudely. Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about someone who uses their words in opposition of the spirit of the person they're talking to. Now, here's what I mean by that. All of us have a spirit, and at different times, our spirit needs something. Sometimes our spirit needs to be encouraged. Sometimes our spirit needs to be rebuked. Sometimes our spirit needs to be heard. Sometimes our spirit needs to be spoken back to. Sometimes our spirit needs to be affirmed. Our spirit finds itself in times where it needs something from someone. And a perverse word is this. A perverse word is when you speak the opposite, contrary to what that person's spirit needs. Okay, let me give you an illustration. Listen to what Job said in Job chapter 16. Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. He's talking to his great friends, right? His buddies. He says, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? Here's what Job just said. Job just said, here I am, I've lost my kids, I've lost my wealth, my wife is against me, I've lost all these things. I'm in this great spirit of depression, and my spirit needed something. My spirit needed you to come and be a comforter and to be strength to me, but here's what you were. You spoke perverse words to me. You spoke the exact opposite of what my spirit needed. That's what a perverse word is. Let me give you some. It's to argue when someone's spirit needs you to listen. It's to correct when your spirit needs you to be, when the spirit needs, their spirit needs you to be quiet. It's to be critical when their spirit needs you to be complimentary. It's to be harsh when the spirit of a person needs you to be gracious. It's to be negative when the spirit of a person needs you to be positive. It's to be silly or sarcastic or light when the spirit of a person needs you to be serious. It's to be silent when the spirit of a person needs you to talk. In other words, in our lives, we have a spirit, and when in our marriage, there are times when we need a certain kind of word from our spouse. We've had a bad day, we've had a good day. We're bearing burdens, we've had some people tear us down, or whatever it is, or we're getting wayward, and our spirit needs something from our spouse, and a perverse word is this, is when we speak into them and into their spirit exactly the opposite of what they needed. You ever had that happen to you? Yeah, you're not going to say it right now because your spouse is sitting next to you. But every one of us have had that. Every one of us have gone to our husband or gone to our wife, and we were looking for something, and then they said and you're just like, thanks. Like, that is exactly what I did not want. Are you with me? You're amen, amen, yeah. Every one of us have done that. It's perverseness of speech. It's to speak into the life and vitality of someone the opposite of what they need. Now, that has an impact on the spirit of that person. Notice what he says again in verse 4. He says, perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Here's what the word breach means. The act of breaking, the state of being broken, a rupture, or a severing. The same word is used in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 14 in this way, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. Solomon says that when you speak into someone's spirit, into their heart, the opposite of what they need, you break their spirit down. The courage or the determination or the faith or the energy that they need to continue with the right attitude and the right frame of mind, when you speak to them the wrong way, here's what you do. You break that down. You ever had that? You ever had it when you're struggling and you're trying to keep the strength and you're trying to keep the faith or you're trying to keep the energy to keep on and keep on, and somebody speaks to you the wrong way and you say it this way, man, that just tore me down. And what you're saying is that energy that I had that was struggling, you've just taken more of it away from me. And if we're not careful in our marriage, what we can do, a husband can come home and a husband may really just need his wife to make him feel like he does something well. He may just need to hear something good about him so that he can get up the next day and he can go deal with all the garbage that he has to deal with at his job. But instead, he gets to hear something else and it makes him just say, man, I just want to quit. I just want to give up. A wife, the same thing. A wife may be trying to invest in the marriage even and try to keep the right attitude about being a good wife. And she might just need her husband just to throw her a bone, as they say. Just give me something here to keep me encouraged. And instead, he just does the exact opposite, and it just shreds that spirit. And it's like grass that doesn't get watered. It's like grass that doesn't get the nutrients of the soil. It begins to die. It begins to wither. It begins to lose its freshness. It begins to lose its life. It begins to lose its vitality. And what can happen in a marriage over the course of time, when we are constantly speaking the wrong words into the spirit of our mate, we can slowly suck the life out of our mate. And that's when a lot of times you hear someone say, well, I'm just done. I'm done. And a lot of times that's the cumulative effect of their spirit not being spoken into in the right way. So he's saying, look, we can break their fight. We can break their joy. We can break their positivity. We can break their confidence. We can break their affection. We can slowly deteriorate the spirit of our spouse by speaking into them the exact opposite of what they need. But there's another wet thing we can do. He says in verse 4, the very first words, he says this. He speaks of a wholesome tongue. The word wholesome, it has the root word for therapy, healing, physician. The word marpe literally means this: curative, medicine, sound. The idea of a wholesome word is a healing word. It's like a medicine that brings life. Now, here's what's interesting about the word wholesome, though. The word wholesome has within it this definition: yielding. The very same word is used this way in Ecclesiastes 10:4. Now catch this. This is pretty neat to me. In Ecclesiastes 10:4, the Bible says this: if the spirit, now listen, the same word, spirit, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, Leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. That word yielding is the same word for wholesome. So here's what he tells. He says, look, if you're a servant and you come before your king and the spirit of the king is angry, do not walk and storm out of the palace angry. That's the opposite of what his spirit needs right then. Yield to his anger and speak softly and kindly to him to pacify the great offense. What he's saying is this. What he's saying is, when you stand before the spirit of the king, see what the spirit of the king is and yield to it. It's like when you get on the freeway, if you yield, you are adjusting yourself to the flow of traffic. You are adjusting your words, you're adjusting yourself to the spirit of the person, and then you speak accordingly. Did you get that? A wholesome word is when we learn to understand the spirit of our mate and yield and speak according to what they need at that time. Did you get that? That's why when Job says, but I would strengthen you with my mouth and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. What's interesting, when you read the book of Proverbs, a lot of stuff that those guys said to him was true. A lot of the stuff that his friends said to him was true. But it wasn't the time and it wasn't the place. And it wasn't what his spirit needed at that moment. Job said, if the tables were turned and I was sitting in your living room, I would yield to your spirit and I wouldn't just speak whatever I want to speak to you, whether it's right or wrong. I would yield to your spirit and I would speak what you need for that moment. That's kind of what the Word of God has in mind when it says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. The idea is understand the spirit of the person that you're with and yield to that and help them with their spirit. It doesn't mean, let me qualify this, it doesn't mean that you never rebuke someone, because sometimes none of us like to be rebuked, right? I mean, there are times when we need to be rebuked. So I'm not saying you never speak the truth faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's not the idea here. The idea here, though, is in day-to-day conversation and in day-to-day interaction, we have a certain amount of energy to take on life, to deal with our kids, to deal with our bills. Will we all agree that life is hard and life presents challenges and it takes a certain amount of enthusiasm and energy to deal with it? And as a spouse, we have to be mindful that what we say to each other impacts that energy to take on life. And when we learn to understand our spouse and to speak to them what they need on that day or in that hour, that helps or hurts their spirit to deal with life. Now look what he says. I think this is awesome. He says in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Tree of life means living, alive, green, flowing, fresh, reviving like the springtime. Tree of life brings us back to the imagery of Genesis chapter 3, which says this, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So you know what that implies? That Adam and Eve would go into the garden and they would go to the tree of life and they would eat of that tree, and it would bring about a vitality to live. And if they had access to the tree, guess what? They could live forever. Now catch that. Solomon is saying this. Solomon is saying that our words Our words can be like water. Our words can be like fertilizer. Our words can be like a tree of life that we can speak into the spirit of our husband, that we can speak into the spirit of our wife and literally help keep them going. They said, hey, as long as they can go to the tree of life, they can keep on going. They can keep on living. That's an awesome picture. Your words can help your husband get up and face the difficulty of the next day. Your words can help your wife be the kind of mother the next day that she needs to be. Your words can help your mate continue to try to be the kind of mate that they're trying to be for you. You and I have the ability to be a tree of life for each other. That as we go out and we have to deal with gossip and we have to deal with sin and we have to deal with pressure and we have to deal with failure and we have to deal with our own difficulties and our own failures, as we start going through life, we go out here in the world and we have, basically, I look at it like this way, we go out into the world and our life is being zapped from us. Our life is being drained from us. And we have the opportunity to go home. And you know what we have the opportunity to do? To feed each other strength and life so that we can go back out and do what we need to do. And that comes by understanding each other in the right, in the moment. And not saying, what do I want to say? Or what do I, it's saying, what do they need from me right now? What do they need? Do they just need me to be quiet? Or do they need me to ask them questions? Or do they need me to say, you know what? Look, they may tell you something and you may know, do they totally mishandle that? And if I were in that situation, I would have totally handled it different. But you know what? You know, that's not what they need to hear right now. They need to hear, you know what, you're doing the best you can, just keep at it. That's what they need to hear right then. And a wholesome tongue is a tongue that learns the spirit of your spouse and says, okay, this is what they need, and this is what I'm going to give them. They don't need me to cut up a joke right now. They don't need me to crack a funny right now. They need me to get serious. They don't need me to correct them right now. Or maybe they do need some encouragement, some correction right now. And as we learn over the years, because it takes years to do this, trial and error, as we begin to learn each other and understand each other, and we begin to speak life into each other, our home can be a home of life. That every day we come home and we recharge and we recharge and we recharge and we recharge and we go back out and we face the difficulties that take away from our life. You can help your spouse want to keep living for God. You can help them maintain their joy. You can help them stay positive. You can help them keep confidence in themselves. You can help them keep their affection. Here's the question I think we need to ask ourselves. How good of a landscaping job are we doing with our mate? How much watering are we doing? How much fertilizing are we doing? How much sunlight are we doing? Now look, through Christ, we can do all things. If you have a spouse that's not speaking into your spirit, don't walk out of here and say, well, the reason why I'm miserable is because of you. You can do all things through Christ. You can abase and you can abound. Amen. There's a lot of people that have spouses who will never speak life into them, and they can get through it and God will strengthen them. But it's a whole lot better when your spouse is helping. And so you need to ask yourself, how am I doing? What am I? Am I adding to their spirit or am I taking away from their spirit? Am I, when they come home or when I come home, are we tree of life? Or are we weed killer? Or are we plant killer, grass killer? What are we doing? Words that aid the need of a person's spirit add life to it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. I want to encourage you to learn the spirit of your mate and learn how to be a great source of life to help each other face the trials and difficulties and adversities of life. And may it be said of your home that every day you go home, it's like the Garden of Eden. The tree of life is there to feed you and sustain you for the next day. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is a tree of life to us. And I thank you that every time we go to your word is a wholesome tongue that speaks to us and strengthens us and helps us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be that way with our husbands. Help us to be that way with our wives. Help us, Father, to understand what they need in that hour and to minister to them exactly what they need. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.